Thank you, Dave. It's so nice to be with you for this special occasion and special day. I've been blessed already by sitting here. I wish if I could sit down there or sit in the library, because I found that library quite fascinating, but although with no time to spend there. But yes, let's share together this afternoon for this concluding session about inspiring discipleship. Shall I begin by reading the scriptures? One single verse that you know all by heart. You have heard dozens or hundreds of times, and therefore it's very, very simple. And here it is, but I better read from the scriptures as well. This letter to the Philippians is Paul's mature letter, I would say, in which he presented the amazing theology or doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous verses about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will only emphasize this verse, verse 21, which it is there, but I will read to you just the previous verses and a few others as well. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 21. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know at that time in his life. To carry on living or face death. Those were days of difficulties, because the church was just emerging and lots of opposition from the Jews, from the establishment, and even from politics. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. At least we have, all of us here, we have one thing in common. If we are here, it's because we were born at a certain date in our lifespan. And another thing is certain, apart from paying taxes, we will die. So I always like to view life from being born and facing eventually death. And what we make in between. An advertisement from Land Rover saying, enjoy it. You have only one life to live. Enjoy it. Pick up your Land Rover and go and do something. Enjoy life. So I want you to think about this. What do you make of it? What is it? A fish. A fish divided in three parts. Can you identify them? What do you identify to start with from the left hand side? Sorry? Plus. Well done. Secondly? Equal. And the third? Multiply. Something better than multiply. Sorry?
Times.
Times, could be, yeah. Okay, we have identified it very easily. Now, what is this really? This has to do with our writing 16 manuals, 16 volumes on the book of Romans. We are on the volume 12 now. And we identified the greatest theme in the book of Romans and in the entire Bible is to be more like Christ. X is the letter for Christ in the Greek New Testament. If I can put in a very, very simple ways. So be more like Christos in Greek. And therefore I ask my daughter to use her skills and provide this logo, which will be used for all the books we will be printed in the future. So, what is life all about? Being more like Jesus Christ. This is what X Christ means. When you look at your logo now, Croxley Green Baptist Church, remember, it could well be multiply. We are all expected to multiply the new disciples. You can think of the cross as well, which is the center of Christianity. And we can think as well of Jesus Christ. Christ as being our greatest Savior and our God as well. So to start with, I thought of this difficult task of inspiration. What can we do about discipleship? It's so simple, so straightforward. How can we get excited about discipleship? Praise God, I'm standing after two speakers have already done all the work. And I thought of, speaking to you after lunch. What would that be like? What shall I say? Well, I thought of three examples of inspiration for us all. Sorry about my own selection. It's very, very personal. Maybe it's not yours. Of course, we started with the Bible, with Paul's, with the Apostle Paul, saying what his life is all about. For me, he said, to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. The first inspiration, I think, and I'm very, very honest, although I'm not qualified to use that figure, the first one is the Queen. I married to Susanna, but Susanna's mother is very, very much involved and get to know every detail, every news about the royal family. I don't understand why, but she's got all the news. And Susanna follow her footsteps. And Susanna loves to read and to follow. As for me, I recollect and I store every end of the year message from the Queen for the last maybe 15, 20 years. I've got on my computer. When December comes, she makes a speech and I found from the Queen something very, very inspiring. It is about her consistent commitment. Why do I say that? Because ever since she took that office, she has committed herself as a consistent believer. And she is the head of the Church of England. But she always tries to be consistent along her life. And reading her Christmas message comes across very, very clear to me. In the way that she has gone through all the difficult years, wars, many upheavals, many difficulties, but her faith in God, in Christ, seems very, very consistent. Second illustration comes from Billy Graham. I spent hours in February while I was on holiday in Madeira Island just for 4 or 5 nights. It happened to be his funeral. And I've been reading a lot about Billy Graham. And his key words was, follow Jesus. His message was as simple as that. The Bible says. And the key message is follow Jesus. And I admired in the way that he was able to reach the end of his life at the age of 99, having served the Lord for decades and preached in so many countries and many, many conversions. But his lifetime, from beginning till the end, was a clear example of someone who followed Jesus Christ. We could say a lot more about Billy Graham, but this is enough for the moment. And the third one is John Stott. John Stott. I was happy, I was fortunate to listen to his last public speech in that large venue in Keswick Convention. I think it was 2007 or 2006. It was the last speech. And I was seated in that large crowd. I was seated just beside him, and I could grasp and I could see him standing and walking very, very in a difficult way, and coming to the pulpit and took up his note and put it there, and he started to say that he has thought about his own life, ministry and work. And he said, how should I summarize my walk over these decades? He quoted the Westminster Catechism, Westminster Confession. The end of life is to glorify God. And he mentioned two other summaries proposed by other confessions. And in the end he said, as for me, as I read the scriptures and as I try to interpret the scripture, for me is to be more like Christ. Discipleship is to become more like Jesus. And I agree with him. I think this should be the aim for every Christian in every generation, in every place, is to be more like Christ. Discipleship is a wholehearted discipleship. Helen Keller said the following words: the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. I agree also. A Chinese proverb puts something in a different tune, but something that we can learn as well. Call no man happy until he's dead. Why? We cannot evaluate anything until we reach the end. Life is full of unexpected things. It reminds me going to one of the lectures at LST or LBC in those days, and one of the lectures stood, it was just in the beginning of the course, and he said to all of us, about 40 people, 30 odd people in our class, look at each other. Some of you will leave the faith. Some of you will become atheists. And we were all looking at us. And he said, I'm using statistics. I'm not predicting, I'm using statistics. And truly, don't we know that some people start well and make a mess of their lives? Who knows the future? Do you? Do I? How shall we stand? How shall we walk? How shall we preach? How shall we live our Christian lives? Luke, the evangelist and the writer, records, now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Nice words. Amazing words. What a desire. It is my desire as well. I remember one of the characteristics of my own life. It's not perfect, it's not ideal, but I always try to think well ahead of me. This is my way of living. When I was a teenager, I was looking how people start to be engaged and get married, how they raise their children. I spend a lot of time seeing how elderly people, men and wife, husband and wife, get on together. I really appreciated them holding hands together than to see just the teenagers holding hands together. It's so marvelous when people can reach the end of life together. I always try to appreciate it. And I know, in those early days in my life as a Christian, you know, I even may open a discussion with my friends. When you die, and I will die, what we would love to see written on our grave, or whatever they do. I said my opinion. Put something like this. As someone who tried to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's about it. No achievements, nothing to boast, but just to try to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people would love to follow Christ till the end. That's a good desire. But the Lord replied, Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Times of difficulties. Jesus faced it. And most certainly we are to face as well. All sorts of difficulties. Relationships, work, mental problems, physical problems. All sorts of difficulties. But please, think of discipleship as a pilgrimage. This is my favorite picture of all. Life is not a 100 meter speed game. Life is more like a marathon. It doesn't really matter most how we started, but it's how we ended it. So easy to give up. Where are we standing now as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? I've got great sympathy with people who try to serve the Lord or live as a Christian life. Johann Lukasi was a church planting consultant for us in Portugal, in Lisbon. Once in a seminar for those involved in church planting, he shared with us something that I will pass on to you this afternoon in a very, very brief moment. He presented it as a 3 B's. Let me share with you. Believing, belonging, and behavior. 3 B's. And he said, as you evangelize, you will come across with people that come to Christ by believing. Others come by belonging. And others come already by behavior. It doesn't matter where we stand. All three are important. But we do not know how God works in people's lives. Some people come to be in the church because a relative has brought him along. But it takes time until they reach a stand of a clear biblical beliefs. But it's good to welcome them. Some people take a very slow motion. Wouldn't you be surprised sometimes that some people who are not really committed yet, but they behave well? Let them take part in this way of living. We need to be patient to each other. After all, we are all fellow disciples. All follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we should be patient with one another. Not imposing. People who like beliefs, especially those reformed people, they like everyone to follow that path. In those ways, you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4. Because they came to Christ in that way. But God does not work always in that same way. God is so gracious, so great, that He understands you. He understands your neighbor. He understands your children and your partners and everybody else. God is a God who is at work all the time. And let us be aware that if we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. But we have nothing, absolutely nothing, to boast about ourselves. We should reach the end of days longing and longing to remain faithful, simple followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. One pastor wrote the following about discipleship, which I think is good for us to recollect at least. He says this: so let's be forewarned that and prepared that discipleship will cost you. Cost what? You. We are to lay down our lives so Christ can live in us. So discipleship costs. There is no other way. It's all by grace, but it costs me a lot. That means I should not live my life as I wish to. I should not spend the rest of my life indulging myself. This is not an option if I belong to Jesus. It costs my renunciation, leaving aside all the materialism, leaving aside the fame, leaving aside all the things that sometimes diverts us from Christ being uplifted and Christ alone. So it will cost. Yes, it will cost you. And then he continues by saying, yet the cost of rejecting Christ and the way of life he offers is much higher in the end. So think about it. But don't live a life with fear. We should not only follow Jesus because there is heaven in the end. No. We follow Jesus because this is the best way of living. If I try to save my life, I will lose it. I better lose it in order to gain it in Christ Jesus. So life is a pilgrimage. Life is a challenge. Being a disciple, it's a great way of living. Let me share with you how I see things. I learned from Billy Graham, who at the age of about 70 odd years, he died at 99, at the age of about 70 odd years, he has written in one of his books saying, "I've made one big mistake." And the mistake was, most of his friends, if not all of his friends, were from his generation. And sadly enough, most of his friends passed away, and he was almost the very last to die. And that I read 20 odd years ago, and I was committed to say, in my ministry, I want to be involved with younger babies, with children, with teenagers, with young people, with young married couple, and I really love to spend time with elderly people. And what a joy to serve the people. What a joy. What a joy to be a fellow disciple. Because God wants me to do that. So discipleship is not one man's business. As we have heard already this morning, discipleship is not me and Jesus. It has that dimension. Discipleship is we should live together as a body of Christ, being prepared to serve the world out there. I was really encouraged. I heard a lot about the story of this building, especially the Clapham group already, and William Wilberforce, of course. And it was amazing disciples in those days. Amazing disciples. Put the UK on the international agenda. Not only because of the abolition of slavery, which is not a small thing in those days, but they were committed disciples, committed people to serve the body of Christ, but please, to serve the people outside, those who do not need, who do not believe yet. That is the reason why we are disciples. That is the reason why we should get this teaching. Let me end up finishing by saying a very difficult verse in the famous Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6 of Matthew. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or will you be devoted to the one and despise the other? And the concluding thought, you cannot serve both God and money. We should not take this biblical verse in isolation. Please put it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. How did the sermon begin? Happy are those, or blessed are those, and he sets all those lists. We can live a happy life as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But neither in the beginning nor along the way, until we reach the end, we cannot serve two masters. It's an academic impossibility. This is why the entire Old Testament is working against idolatry. Took centuries for the Jewish people to understand, to grasp, there is only one God and no other. And we cannot fully, entirely, wholeheartedly serve two masters. It's impossible. We may try it, but we make a mess of our own lives. It is possible to love God with all my mind, with all my heart, with all my values and strength and in action. By loving God and love our neighbor as well. Because we can't love God and hate our neighbor. It's impossible in biblical terms. So discipleship is never boring. No way. No way. In the discipleship mold of living, there is a place for you as you are. Sorry when the churches, like me as a pastor, we fail to acknowledge people as they are. Sorry about that. It's not about the clergy. It's not about the full-time workers. It's about disciples. So be encouraged. Present yourself to God. And let God use you in an inspiring ways. Until that glorious day when we reach our final place, not only of destination, but of rest. I visited Israel for a few days only. I never wanted to go there because I don't like this excessive exploration of the sacred. I don't like it. It's not me. It's not my way of living. And I went there just for 5 days, I think, or 6 days, which happened to be the weekend, Friday and Saturday. And the people that received me, they told me, Fabiano, there isn't much to do in the way of visitation in this city of Jerusalem. What do you want to do? Without much thinking, I said to them, let me experience your Sabbath. What a request. Truly, truly, we lost our Sundays. It's a shame. I was in England when that campaign, Keep Sunday Special, did not result. Materialism, secularism took it over. And we spoiled the concept of rest. If I said discipleship is about pilgrimage, let me conclude my thought by saying discipleship is not the amount of work you have to do. It's not religious stuff. True discipleship is to find rest in the hands of God. Sabbath. Augustine said, we only find rest in God. We live a restless life until we rest in the hands of God. So, don't take discipleship as a hard business in life. Take it by imitating Paul. For me, to live is Christ. And eventually, when we die, it's a gain. What a blessing. What a pilgrimage. What a way of living. Not two masters, not three masters, just one. And it's good enough, all sufficient to have just God as our unique and single and only God. May the Lord bless us all. May you be encouraged to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Lots of things to do, never boring. By loving, by behaving, by acting, by believing, all of that. We will never be asked to be expert in one of those things. God does not give a special place for the learned and the wise and intelligent. God gives a special place to everyone who happens to be obedient. Obedience is all that He wants, as we have heard already today. May the Lord bless you. And David, thank you so much for inviting a foreign to speak in a way that is not really your natural ways.